Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, February 16th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. That will get you one update every day. About an hour before the show, you'll get an email update reminding you that we're going to go live in about an hour. So there is a rhyme and reason to joining us and becoming a fan and marking this radio show as a favorite. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I do appreciate you tuning in, whether it be live today or through the archives, through iTunes or Zune or podcast.com or blogtalkradio.com. We appreciate you listening to the archive as well. We've got a great show lined up for you today. But before we get started, it's time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, author, multi-talented, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, how you doing today?
Hey, Whisper, I'm doing great today. Yeah, it's a really fine day. Can you believe it's already Wednesday? That doesn't seem possible, does it?
Well, actually, it's funny how different people, it seems very slow. To me, it seems like a Thursday. I don't know why. Last week flew by. This week, it's like, wait a minute, it's only Tuesday? Oh, it's only Wednesday? I guess I've been just so busy packing things and getting things done in the yard and just been so busy with everything else that I don't know, just kind of dragging this week. It's just Wednesday, but that's okay. I'll take the days as we can get them, and every day is a blessing for me, so because I'm doing what I love to do, and I love to meet all the great folks out there who we meet on the road. So yeah, it does just seem like, for me this week anyway, it's like just Wednesday. For some reason it seems like Thursday, but everybody has their weeks sometimes weeks go by quick, sometimes they don't. So what have you been up to? How was yesterday in NPR?
Oh, thanks. It was so much fun. Walter just asked if I had my coffee day today, and no, I'm still caffeine-free. I didn't have any coffee today because I didn't go into town. But yeah, NPR was great. This was a piece for Civic Soapbox. And it's on the 7 myths of urban chickens with Barbara Woodruff. So Martha Woodruff. And we just had such a good time and then went to lunch and talked about sort of the good old days and how journalism is changing and what's up for the future. And it's just a great, great day. So, boy, don't you find, Andy, when you're in those recording studios, the equipment is just awesome. I mean, you look at these microphones, you go, oh, my God, they've got these filters on them and all the sound equipment. It's like, whoa, what a sophisticated piece of work radio is. And it's pretty remarkable we can do what we do with what we've got, isn't it, compared to what the big stations have.
It is pretty amazing. Of course, we just upgraded a lot of equipment to be, and everybody's been complimenting lately on our sound. Wow, your sound is so much improved and sounds so much better even when you're on the road. And even the interview we had with Good Day Sacramento this past Saturday, they were commenting on how great the sound was. So we did make some upgrades to really compete a little bit better with the big boys as far as an upgraded, not quite top of the line microphone, but pretty close there, and a dual mixer with several controls on our sound. And
really, you've got a mixer?
we got a mixer, and we've got we've upgraded our microphone. And with the reason why we didn't go to the top of the line, because it didn't have an on off switch, and any type of separation in wire when you have a connection like that can increase the issues you may have, can increase or decrease sound quality. But I do utilize that on and off switch, especially when we're on the road. When we go to break, so I can talk with fans, maybe give away a prize. So while the commercials are running, I wanted that on-off switch. So that prevented us from getting the top of the line, but it's the top of the line with an on-off switch that we upgraded. We got a little mixer here that we can take that we use on the road that really helps with the sound. It gives us a lot of control. It can run up to two microphones, and then we can even use this mixer for when we actually go on the road and have a broadcast system. We can actually hook that up to our laptop. We can have the background sound. We can play the show in the background, and we can broadcast live via the loudspeaker if there's one available, or if we take our own. So yeah, it's got multi uses. So, but we have had a lot of compliments, and thank you very much out there,
yeah,
those who have helped
great.
Us with the mm-hmm. with the increased sound. So we appreciate. We appreciate that. And right now I'm having a little issues with the chat room. Half of my buttons haven't come up, so I'll be talking with Blog Talk Radio technical support here in just a second when we get our guest on. But yeah, some of those big stations, some of their equipment is truly, truly amazing. You are correct. So how'd it go? What'd y'all talk about? And tell us all about it. When is it going to air, the whole nine yards?
Well, I'm not sure when it'll air yet, but the Civic Soapbox is a program where people just write little essays, and then you read it on the air. And Martha Woodruff is just a magician when it comes to editing. She can make you sound really good. So we just went and read the script and read it twice. And she prompted, take a pause here, do a little more there. And so then she goes and edits it and puts it on the air. And I guess then it goes, I think it goes nationwide. So that ought to raise some awareness about what the myths are, the false myths about urban chickens. And so I went up to Harrisonburg. It's about an hour away, and was just there in the studio chatting away. So I'll let you know when it comes on. I'm looking forward to hearing it. I told my mother when it was coming on NPR again, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I don't believe it." So it's always nice when you can impress your mom, you know. She's the best cheerleaders are mothers.
You get that right. Absolutely correct. Without a doubt. No matter what, they are going to support you through thick and thin, and so proud of you. No matter how old we get, very, very proud of
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, I'll always be her little one, no matter how old I am. Now, little one.
I love it.
Oh, dear.
I love it.
Anyway.
So cool. I'm glad that worked out for you and panned out, spreading the poultry love all around the country.
Love.
And, spreading that poultry love. And there's so many other than just you and me out there that are doing that all around the country. They're doing such a great job. And we are, of course, so proud of them. They're making great strides. We know that because of the number of towns that are allowing backyard poultry. So we've got a great show lined up for everybody. We had a great show yesterday, Pat. You'll have to go and listen to the archive all about the Java Recovery Project with Jeanette Behringer and Steve Moyes with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. That was great. Today, of course, we're going to welcome Jim Adkins. He's the founder of the International Center for Poultry. Today's topic will interest many, poultry and sustainable farming and homestead marketing. So very interesting. Get your pen and paper out. As always, you should know it's a fun show. We got the live chat going on. I'm working on getting the video up, but the information I feel me and Pat bring you are one of a kind. And it's a really easy listen, an hour and a half show, and bring your pen and paper, because there's so much you can and will want to learn. Tomorrow we've got another episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McCray, and I see here that you will not be joining us tomorrow either. You'll be 3,000 feet up in the air, and I'm guessing you'll either be mountain climbing, taking a helicopter ride, or flying.
Well, maybe it's 30,000 feet. However high those jets go is where I'm going to be.
Somewhere between.
It's right at noon. I mean, we take off at noon. So, unfortunately, that's the way the schedule sugared
out. We'll definitely send good thoughts and happy thoughts and good prayers for a safe travel. I don't like to fly. Jen doesn't like to fly. We've flown tons and tons and tons of miles in our lives, but it's just something we never get used to. We dislike it. We do it if we absolutely have to, but we'll be sending you some prayers for that. And then Friday, it looks like Bill Rupert of Gardens and Chicken Ranch, Bill owns and National Nursery Products. So that'll that'll be an interesting and fun Friday coming up. And we'll also have some more prizes to give away today, being Wednesday. Is brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. And one lucky listener at the end of the show already have the trivia question. And boy, it is a doozy. Start doing your research on chickens. And no slack today. You're gonna have to. We're gonna have to get there. There's anyway. You'll see. So we're gonna have some fun a little bit today, and the winner will walk away with a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. And then, of course, tomorrow with Dr. McRae, we've got a great item as well that we're giving away to a lucky listener. And then Friday, of course, to boot. So very, very fun. And we love to give away prizes here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let me get over to my Facebook page and take a look at some of Chickens in the News items. Every day, Chickens in the News is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Visit them online at meyerhatchery.com. Let me scroll down here. There's one in particular I wanted to share. It is a video story. I think it also in print. Hopefully, I can read it to you guys. Yes, but it also has a great video segment that you can watch. Cool at School, raising chickens for a good cause. This is out in Las Vegas. Second graders at Southern Highlands Preparatory School are taking a hands-on approach to learning. They are the caretakers to a dozen eggs, which will soon hatch into chickens. Students say they can't wait to see all their hard work pay off. It's cool because we get to figure out how they live and how they start up and end up, said second grader Sophia Cario. The class makes sure the incubator stays just at the right temperature and the eggs are turned every hour. This is even a there is even a closet dedicated to the eggs where students are able to monitor the chicks' development using candles. Jocelyn Lauderhouse said, when you hold an egg, you're holding life in your hand. It's cool to feel like you are actually holding something. The students raised $1,500. Ready for this? The students raised $1,500 to help buy the eggs and the incubator. Once the eggs hatch, the chicks, along with any leftover money, will be donated to the Bonnie Springs Zoo. Teacher Carla Martin says, this is a great way to get the kids involved in the community. They are proud. They think they're a part of Bonnie Springs Zoo. Now being able to build cages and get facilities in the zoo, they feel like it's them doing all the work, and it is. The eggs should start hatching this week. So very, very awesome. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can see the whole video of this and the kids. And I believe one kid even said, let me think what they were saying. He said, one kid actually said, it's so much better to actually, you know, to paraphrase what she said, you know, it's so better to be able to feel and touch and learn and see the actual process versus just a teacher just sitting there and telling you about it over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what a great comment from a second grader. So I wanted to share that with you. Very good article. Kimberly in the chat room, this is really sad, said our systems risk manager, whatever the heck that means, has deemed it unsafe to have eggs hatching in our classrooms. According to item 7.2.1 under animals, she just got the notice the other day. So I'd love to talk to this risk manager and see exactly what he or she figures deemed unsafe. So I'm sure I can point out, with my wife being a teacher, a lot of other unsafe things in the school that goes on, not just hatching a few eggs, but maybe even now I'm going to even go down that road. So,
don't get
you said,
started.
I know. I'm just not going to go down that road today.
Myths.
Holy cow. Let's see what else we got here, Chickens in the News. We've had a lot of posts from a lot of fans and followers on Facebook. Hopefully, maybe this afternoon I can get to them. I stay so busy. If you're on our Facebook page, you know the answer to one of these posts, please sound off, because there's more than one right answer when we talk about raising backyard poultry. We all know that to be true. There's another video story here about Valley residents want chicken rearing rules eased. That's another video story that we posted yesterday. Then another one, city considers allowing chickens, residents to allow chickens. And in some cases, maybe we need to let the chickens raise the residents, based on some that I've seen around here. And then And then we've got a couple of others that we're going to be posting later today as well. Also, a little update. Remember, we talked to a 92-year-old Milford man who challenged the local ordinance that prohibits him from raising chickens. He apparently has a court date coming up, or a hearing, on February 22nd. Young lady Kimberly is going to be there supporting him, and we may, before that date, have to start up a little email campaign again. We've got two that we're working on, so all of our great listeners and supporters, do that. It takes 5 minutes to send an email, and we will do it for you. You can do it for them. So we may be starting a couple of email projects here in the next week. We'll let you be informed of that as these folks start heading to council to try to get backyard poultry allowed. Pat, you got any chickens in the news today?
I do. I have an announcement of something coming up, and this is in Washington, D.C., and it sounds really good. I wish I could go. But it's called Rooting D.C., R-O-O-T-I-N-G, D.C., and it's a group that gets together. I'm just going to read their blurb. It says, whether you are new to gardening or an experienced green thumb who wants to explore the role of gardens in our community, Rooting D.C. has something for you. This year, we will be taking a close look at schoolyard and youth gardening, as well as offering workshops on gardening basics, roundtable conversations, cooking demonstrations, and an information fair. So they will be happening this Saturday, and I think it's only, the lunch is like $5. It's pretty well free. So I posted the link there on the website, and it is held at, let me just see where it's going to be held at. Ooh, it doesn't say right here on top. It's their fourth annual forum. It's at the Coolidge High School, 6315 Fifth Street, Northwest in Washington, D.C., the Coolidge High School on Fifth Street, Northwest. So that would be a great event to go to. I know the D.C. advocacy groups and the Prince George's County Chickeneers are going to be having a table there, and they've arranged for a chicken suit to show up. There's going to be a guy in a chicken suit, and they'll be passing out some flyers and some information material. So BD County and Washington, D.C., chickens are still illegal, but they're going to be there representing and raising consciousness, and as you say, Whisper, spreading the love.
Yep, awesome. Well, very good. Thank you very much for sharing that. And give me 1 second. I'm on sidetracked here. I'm trying to get my webcam up. I'm on a live chat with the BTR folks over here at Tech Support. So just give me 1 second. Icon button. Okay, there we go. Perfect. Wanted to get that because people do like to have the webcam up for whatever reason. They want to see my mug. So very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Pat, and we're going to go ahead and go to commercial break, just about coming up on close to half past the hour. When we come back, folks, get your pen and paper ready, seriously, because we're going to be welcoming Jim Adkins, founder of International Center for Poultry. He's going to be talking about an awesome subject today, poultry and sustainable farming and homestead marketing. How cool is that? So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Frenzy, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Before we go to the phone lines to bring on our special guest today, it is time to bring on Jesse from BidBird.com. He's going to feature a couple of auctions that are on his website that you just might be interested in. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Andy. Hey, Pat, how are you doing? We lose Pat?
Pat Foreman.
You know, I was going to make a mention of something she said earlier about mothers being
proud. Oh, dear.
There she is.
I did it again.
There she is. Andy, this is what happens when she doesn't have her coffee on Wednesdays, you know?
I know. I forget to unmute.
Pat, you know, we were talking about your mother being proud of you earlier, and it reminds me, and I know many of us go through this. You know, we can reach 30, 40, 50 years old, and you know, your mother still says, you know, you're still my baby, and I can remember when you were born. It usually happens on your birthday. They go into this five-minute spiel on the labor. Do you experience that, too, with your mother?
No, she doesn't go into the labor thing, although she does remind me that I came at, like, 3 in the morning. So.
Well, that's what I mean. You're still her baby no matter how old you get.
No matter how old, I'm still her baby. That's right. And she's still my mother. In fact,
exactly.
She calls and she goes, she'll call on the phone and she says, this is your mother, as if I couldn't tell. God bless her. I got a great mother. She's really been a fabulous role model as well as the love through the years. I mean, she's been fabulous. Yeah. So.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to feature a couple of auctions here today. the one that we have up that's I think needs attention is there's a pair of rare Nankins available. Big Papa D is the seller, and currently they're going for $25. This is for a breeding pair of rare Nankins. And also, I thought this was interesting. This is the first time we've seen this on BidBird. You know, we also we say many times to check our auctions because you never know what you're going to find. But our friend Wayne Grubbs has a bunch of different listings up for different plants. The one that I want to refer to is he has two hardy pecan tree seedlings. So if you're looking for pecan seedlings, he also has red hot poker plants, three mixed cone flowers. Everything except a little bit of kudzu there, Andy, but that's interesting. Head over to bidbird.com, see what Wayne has for sale.
Don't you mean pecan?
Pecan. They're playing in the kudzu field, yes. People up north probably don't know what kudzu is, but Andy, you could tell them what kudzu is.
You do not want to know what kudzu is if you don't already know, trust me.
Andy, are you going to be at that show this Saturday?
I am going to be there at that show this Saturday, absolutely. In fact, I was just talking to Christina about how loaded down my car is going to be, or our SUV. I've got a beautiful four-hole metal nesting box that I'm taking from eggcartons.com that's been donated. I've got another kind of plastic-style single nest box that I'm taking. I'm taking an incredible egg washer from eggcartons.com and some egg wash. I'm taking, holy cow, I think I've got three wire egg baskets that I'm taking. I'm taking probably four or five dozen of their wooden ceramic fake eggs down there.
Wow.
Plus, I've got 8 50-pound bags of Manipro egg maker. I've got two boxes of poultry conditioner.
Oh,
I've got one box of I think grit, one box of oyster shell, and we're gonna. And plus all my broadcast equipment, plus anything.
A pregnant wife.
Plus anything we're taking down to the farm, leaving from there and heading down to the farm afterwards. So, yes, we will be there, and just look for whatever SUVs in the parking lot that's scraping the ground as we pull in.
You know, Andy, I think we should auction off for charity. We should auction off a lunch with Andy right there from the Chattahoochee Poultry Association show in, oh, my goodness, I forgot the noon in Georgia. What do you think?
Noonan.
Have lunch with Andy.
You might get about
tater tots.
Yeah, exactly. You might get about 8 cents.
Well, anyways, I thank you for your time and for the plants that I talked about, the pecans and the rare Nankins. Please visit us at bidbird.com, www.bidbird.com. Thanks, Andy and Pat, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
And I just posted that on the chat room there for you, Jesse. So bidbird.com. Very good.
Yep, bidbird.com. Very, very cool. We got that. Yep, awesome. Okay, that was awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that. And let me see. Going down here. What do you know which area code Jim will be calling in from, Pat? I don't see a little hand raised where he's...
Okay, the... Yes, it is area code 209.
Perfect, got it. There we go. All righty, we're going to go to the phone lines then, and we're going to welcome Jim Atkins, founder of International Center for Poultry. And, Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, good to be back on here. I'm actually, it's sunny here in North Carolina, and I'm in between visiting a couple of farms that are doing heritage poultry.
Wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah,
yeah, I tried to work it out so that I was going to be on a farm, but I finished up at one and headed for another one. And I thought rather than try and get to the farm, you know, and then you go through some of these hills in North Carolina, lose reception, like, hey, guys, I'll be back. I got to get to the chicken farm. But I just decided I'd go in between farms here, and so we didn't create havoc on the radio program.
Okay. Now, what are you doing at these farms, Jim? Are you helping them with their breeding selection, or is it a breed-specific? What's your purpose?
Well, we're doing, you had mentioned the recovery project with the Javas. Well, we kind of, with the Buckeye project that AOBC did back in 06, we're kind of just picking up where they left off, or I guess for lack of a better term, there's a lot of interest, as I said last time I was on the program, with Heritage Poultry in western North Carolina. Actually, it's all over North Carolina and South Carolina, and, you know, real strong pockets in different areas. And so we did the project we're doing. I'm pretty much kind of limited it to 20 farms. And you have an entry fee to be in the program, and then one of the perks to be in the program is I come to the farm and just kind of spend some time coaching with the farmers. They, you know, they want to show me their land and show me their farm and show me their layout and look at the coops and talk about, well, here's where we're going to do our brooding, and we want to do pastured turkeys here and the chickens over here. So the gentleman I was with today is just outside Winston-Salem, and then the farm, next farm I'm going is more towards down near Salisbury. But the guy, the first farm that was at today, he's doing Osterlorps, and this particular guy is interested in long-term in being a breeder of the Osterlorps to provide other local farmers for the birds, as well as I can't remember what color turkeys. He's either doing Narragansetts or black turkeys. And so it's kind of a mentoring visit. And the next farm we're going to is a guy who's got a small flock of Dominiques, and he's going to triple or try and really increase the size of his Dominique flock. And so I'll go there next and kind of walk around and kind of spend some time coaching with him. So that's what happens. And then we'll go back once they get to birds. We'll go back and do some breeding, selecting, and doing some training for, you know, selecting the birds for egg production and meat production. So that's the plan. That's what we're doing.
You must do a lot of networking, too. I mean, if you know the Dominickers from one farm to connect them with others, or does that go through the ALBC, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, or is that and the clubs, the poultry clubs, or is that a service you provide as well, Jim?
You know, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, being networking is really the key, and because I judge so much, I'm also very connected to those various breeders and guys that, you know, when I see birds that I think is a good flock, when I exhibit them or judge them in an exhibition, I'll make contact with them I think I also said on the last program I was on that I don't really recommend a flock unless I am able to see the parent stock and the grandparent stock and just make sure that what we're getting is, you know, the best that we can have access to. So it's a little bit of everything, networking with poultry shows, with ALBC and with poultry clubs and then staying connected.
Now, Jim, when you're on their farm then, do they have, like, the parents and the grandparents, and you bring them out and actually say, okay, this is the development of the strain or the breed? Is that...
Well, Because this is kind of the first year that I'm involved with North Carolina, we're very much in some beginning stages. But for an example, all the Buckeyes that I'm familiar with are directly connected to what, you know, some of the very beginning stuff that Don Schreider was working with ALBC, and of course, Jeanette Barringer is she's been very instrumental in saying, Jim, go back to this flock or go back to this farmer, and connected me in different places. And I've said, hey, Don, what do you think about this guy and this guy? And so the Buckeyes were very much able to go and say, here's some parent stock, here's some grandparent stock, with some of the other breeds that we're working with, like the Partridge Chanticleer and the Dominiques and Osterlorps are flocks where we're getting stock with breeders that I've known for many years that have been breeding that particular breed for a long period of time. And so there's some longevity there, but we're just working in a different part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world, and I'm so grateful to all these breeders and to you and for the ones that are keeping not only keeping the breeds but improving them, you know, getting them back to, like you were saying and like Frank Reese was saying, getting them back to their production status and not just necessarily feathers and feathers.
That's right.
Form
That's
and
right.
function, I know. Yeah, to the standard of perfection where form follows the function. Yeah.
Yeah, well, as I've said before, I was taught how to judge basically pretty much on what the bird looked like on the outside, and but there's a lot more to it than that, and you need to handle the bird and really get a sense of body type and production of what you're holding, and it's pretty exciting, actually, and I've said many a times this before as well that just the influence of Frank Reese and even with Don and I, we're going to be doing some more teaching together at the Organic Grower School in Asheville, North Carolina, that first weekend in March. And so
it's coming up really fast.
It is. And so that's what I'm out hitting these farms today. And then Friday and Saturday, I'm teaching a couple of workshops on raising heritage poultry for profit and doing talking chickens on Friday and turkeys on Saturday. And so things have been busy. It's been good. And, you know, spring is just around the corner, and then it really becomes a lot of fowl interest, if you know what I'm saying.
I know. I've got one hen that wants to go brooding. I keep telling her, no, not yet. But spring does do that to those hens and to all of us wanting to get out.
That's right.
A little bit of a spring fever. I can feel it already. Yeah.
Oh, it's supposed to be 67 here in North Carolina tomorrow. It's probably near 60.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm excited. So, anyway, so that's kind of what's happening here.
Okay. Well, so we're going to talk today about how to integrate sustainable farming, poultry in with sustainable farming. And
right.
I know that's one of your core mission statements for the International Center for Poultry. So what have you done in that area, Jim, to get farmers to be more sustainable while at the same time, you know, getting in with the heritage breeds?
Well, you know, I have a lot to say about that, and I think we might have even briefly scratched the surface on the last program, but the key thing to me is I'm going to argue, let's just talk turkeys for a minute. This might be a little bit of review, and if it is, then maybe, it'll sink in a little deeper to listeners, educators, and so forth. But, when we talk turkeys, I've told you that, you know, about 100% of the turkeys in commercial industry cannot reproduce. My argument is that is not sustainable, because if it's sustainable, then you would be able to reproduce that bird on your farm and create a movement of sustainability in the sense that, you know, like the farmer I was just with, you know, he is we're in a long-term relationship because he wants to, once he gets the birds, the heritage breeds of chickens and turkeys, then he wants to learn how to select the breeders, both the chickens and the turkeys. And then he's going to, wants to set up, you know, we'll set up the breeding pens, and then he'll start producing, you know, get an incubator and study the art of incubation, begin incubating, hatching his own birds, and maybe the first year he'll just hatch birds for himself, but the second year he may say, hey, I want to hatch for some other farmers in my local area. To me, that defines sustainable poultry farming. You know, where if I'm raising a commercial turkey that cannot reproduce, and every year, every spring, I have to go back to a producer or a hatchery to get my turkeys, because I've never learned how to keep or to develop that flock on my very own farm. And so you become dependent upon the outside resource, whether, you know, and that's where you can say that about tomatoes or about, you know, whatever else. If you can't reproduce it on your farm, then, you know, then it's not sustainable. So most of my, in the last year or two, has been a lot more educating. Like, a lot of poultry farmers are like, hey, I raise 1,000 Cornish cross, and I'm dependent upon the producer of Cornish cross,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is owned by an international company. It's not a local producer. So I have to keep going back to that producer to get my Cornish cross. And so, you know, I'm just trying to encourage them to think about, is that really sustainable? If all of those companies went away, how could you still have a sustainable poultry flock on your farm? And the only way I'm challenging them to think through this is if you have true standard breeds of poultry that can reproduce on your farm. That creates a movement of sustainability with poultry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, of course, that makes a tremendous amount. Well, how about marketing then? I know a lot of the small, even homesteaders that want to get into poultry, they'd like to have like some extra egg money or money from selling the meat. What's some of the tips, tricks, and traps to homestead marketing or small farm marketing that you could advise on?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a networking guru / marketing. You know, if I can try and sell some ice to an Eskimo kind of guy. But, you know, there's a lot of farmers. There's a couple of things that come to mind. There's a lot of farmers that are awesome at raising the birds. They're awesome at breeding. They have an incredible operation set up. I mean, their farm can be like an ideal place to go learn how to have sustainable poultry on a farm. And but when it comes to knocking on a door, you know, and interacting with potential consumers, going to visit a restaurant, that kind of thing, you know, they're like, oh, man, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of things that I point farmers to do. Number one is I always tell them, and these aren't necessarily in, you know, this is the order, but just the first thought that comes to my mind is the idea of you always start locally. You know, this is the way grandma and great-grandma and, you know, and back in the day, it was you raised your birds on your farm and you sold to people who lived around you. And then,
right. You
know, when you're going to the neighbors, then the neighbors tell the next neighbor over. And I always say, you know, get out and knock on doors within, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8 mile radius. Depending on where you live, you might have to travel a little farther. You may not need to travel as far. And go out and beat the bushes a little bit. And let's just say you're the farmer and you're, you know, I mean, obviously you got to step out of your comfort zone a little bit to begin to cross over and do some of that marketing. And because I learned this in the commercial turkey industry, and that is that the consumer is driving the industry. And what I mean by that is they want to build trust with that farmer. So when that farmer, they drive by that farm and they see your eggmobile and out in pasture, they see your sign eggs for sale or pastured poultry or whatever, they drive by, they stop in, they begin to build credibility and you know, and build trust and say, wow, we have a farm that's just a mile down the road. And what happens is, you know, then the word begins to spread. And in a sense, we're going back to marketing the way that it originally started out. And but in addition to that, you know, a step beyond that is really networking with chefs and small restaurants, local restaurants. You know, North Carolina is full of farmers markets. I mean, they're huge. And
yeah,
anywhere,
yeah.
You know, there's a big one in Missoula, Montana, and then the farmers I was working with down in the Central Coast, all connected with Cal Poly University. And farmers markets are great. You know, and so stepping out of your comfort zone and knocking on some doors and, you know, talking to other farmers and saying, hey, how, you know, where are you selling your eggs and how much are you selling them for? And what about your meat birds and where are you selling those? And networking to me is really the key. And then, you know, I think when I think of marketing, the whole idea of obviously a website is a great connection, but I think even more than that, your website can create, you know, there is some, you know, you can be a great website builder but not have a great farm or other marketing. But, I mean, that's a small piece of that. Being able to do, if you can contact local schools, elementary schools and have and do little farm tours. Farm tours are very, very common in North Carolina as well. And whatever you can do to get your farm exposed to the public, exposed to the people who live in your area locally. Now, with our project, with the Heritage Poultry Project that we're doing here, the other great thing is we have farmers who are great at marketing. So, you know, they may not, one farmer may have, hey, I got 50 turkeys and I really can't market them. Well, the other farmer, you know, farmer number two may be raising 50 turkeys too, and he sold all his because he's such a great marketer and he sold them before they even hatched. And so he starts selling for, you know, the other farmer who's okay. in the project. And so it's really a movement of working together and networking and partnering and so forth. So anyway, there's some thoughts there. What do you think? You maybe got another direction I could go there.
Well, certainly the neighborhood collaboratives or networking with the local stores or the healthy food stores or wherever, because it can be a problem when you're working all day long just trying to take care of the farm or the homestead, and then, you know, you just don't have it in you necessarily to go out then and do deliveries and marketing and jumping up the customers. So that can be a good way to network and get your products sold.
Sure. Sure. The other thing that comes to my mind, Pat, it's very, very important, is you need to find out what the state laws are for you to process and to sell, you know, to sell your eggs and to sell your poultry and the way they're processed. For an example, in North Carolina, you have a couple of exemptions that you can sell under. You have, you know, I think it's awesome in the state of North Carolina. Large of a commercial chicken and turkey producer as this state is, the little guy has an enormous amount of freedom. And what I mean by that is, for an example, we have, you know, you can get all this online as far as the regulations, but you can process like 1,000 birds. There's a 1,000 bird exemption for a small farmer in North Carolina. You can process 1,000 birds on your farm, and actually, it's the same exemption for 20,000. You can process up to 20,000 birds on your farm and sell them to individual customers. You can't necessarily, there's different regulations when you sell them for resale. Like, you know, if you come to my house and say, Jim, I want you to plan on me buying 2,000 chickens in the year 2011.
Mm-hmm. Jim, we're having a little problem with your sound. It's coming through really staticky. I tell you what, we'll take a short break, and then why don't you call back in during the break, and maybe we can get a clearer signal. But it's a little rugged trying to hear what you're saying, and we all want to hear it. So we're talking with Jim Adkins. He is the director and the founder of the Center for International Poultry, which is promoting and protecting standard breed poultry. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Oh, yeah!
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I do personally apologize for the technical issues we're having after just bragging about upgrading our equipment, but it doesn't have anything to do with our broadcast equipment. It has to do with the connection. I think they're calling in from a cell phone, and then that, and then some. We are having some technical problems with Blog Talk Radio and the webcam, at least on my end. So we've rebooted about three times trying to work on the webcam, and then all of a sudden I started getting some statics. That might have been a cell connection. So we are back live, and let's see how our sound works now.
How's that sound better?
Oh, that's much better, Jim. Much better.
Yeah. So we're going to have to extend the broadcast to 2 p.m. and have to go back through all that fun stuff.
A little bit of the static coming back in, though. Andy, how are you sounding? How do you hear?
I hear you fine, and I hear me fine, and but I do hear a little bit of static. Let's roll with it and see what happens, and then we can try this again here in a moment. If we need to call back in, we'll try that. But let's roll with it and see what happens.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Jim Adkins. He is the founder and director of the International Center for Poultry. He's been a poultry judge for over 25 years, and Jim is talking with us about marketing and homestead sustainable production. So, Jim, where'd we end?
Well, the last thing that I was talking about was one of the key parts to marketing your birds locally is knowing what the laws and the regulations are in the state that you live in. And I was talking about how, you have a 20,000 bird exemption here in North Carolina. You have a 1,000 bird exemption and then a 20,000 bird exemption. And what that means is let's just say that out of that 20,000 birds, you know, you, Pat, come to me as a farmer and say, "Hey, Jim, in the year 2011, I'll purchase at least 2,000 chickens for our home. I have a big family, and we want 2,000 birds, you know." And so you can buy those directly off of my farm without being – and I can process those on my farm without being USDA inspected or anything like that. And so – some states have much tighter regulations than others, but if you're going to market your birds and your poultry, your eggs, whatever. Now, and on the egg side in North Carolina, it's illegal to put mixed colored eggs in an egg carton and sell them.
You're kidding. That's not possible.
Yeah. You cannot put white eggs and brown eggs and green eggs. It has to be all white, all brown, all green. And you have to, that's just one of the rules. You also can't put them in used egg cartons. Now, I'm not talking about to a drive-by consumer. I'm talking about if you do farmers markets or if you do, any kind of anything where there's resale going on. You know, if you're in a public place, you can't use, egg cartons from somebody else. You have to cover it up, or you have to, buy the plain egg cartons, which is a lot of resources for that, that you can connect with. But so when it comes to marketing, you definitely want to research the guidelines and the regulations of the state. And there are federal laws, but they're pretty vague. And then the state, each state then tightens up. And I just found out that some of the farmers that I was working with in California, they were taking their birds to get processed at a plant where a small poultry processing plant where that particular owner was not going by all the regulations for USDA. Well, the chicken processing police came in and shut him down. And so now they're kind of at a place where they're going to, they're raising a lot of heritage turkeys, and they got to decide, are we going to use a mobile unit on farm? And so, but that's all part of the marketing piece that you really got to do your homework on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And then, now, Jim, have you ever worked in third world countries with marketing and doing this kind of thing? Are you primarily in the U.S.?
Primarily in the U.S., but we are. I'm doing some consulting with. It's called Live Birds. Is a kind of a nonprofit group on Charlotte that is working with a orphanage actually in Zimbabwe, and
mm-hmm.
they are starting some small poultry production places to employ, working with an orphanage to employ some of the older teenagers, late teens, early 20s, who are in the orphanage, and it's really, really cool and very, very exciting of some of the things that are going on internationally. But, I mean, I'm not spending any time traveling at this point to those international countries, but sometimes those who are involved in the poultry work in the third world countries are coming here, and
uh-huh.
We'll let them sit through some of the workshops we're doing, and then I'll take them and tour them around. I'll let them see some commercial farms as well as some small heritage poultry farms. And so some doors are opening up there, and there's really a great interest internationally to do small farming for a profit. So it's pretty exciting, specifically
uh-huh.
with poultry.
Yeah, it seems like poultries are hot in the international, the nonprofit groups as well. But they could bring so much, of course, to local agriculture, as we all know, that it's kind of a no-brainer. So it's time for third world countries to think outside the coop as well and more inside food productions with their poultry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So is the connection a little better, or is it the same?
Yes, it's much better. I don't hear any of the Darth Vader sound there at all. But Jim, it was sounded a little like Star Wars. Now, Jim, you do quite a few classes, I guess. Do you have some of your classes coming up?
I do, Pat. I'm really excited that we finally have about a 90% complete website at centerforpoultry.com, and we're doing, not all the classes are up on there just because it's a lot of time to keep that all up and so forth, but because a lot of them are local grassroots movement. Like this Friday and Saturday, I'm in Concord, but I was hired by the cooperative extension of that county, so you got to register through them. You can email me via the website. So that's coming up, and then in Asheville I'm doing four Tuesday nights classes on raising heritage poultry for profit.
Oh, nice.
Raising
Where in Asheville?
At the Buncombe County Cooperative Extension, the first four Tuesdays in March, 6 to 9. That's not on the website either, but the really, really exciting event that is on the website, and you can register on the website, is the Heritage Poultry Workshop for Chefs. You met Steve Pope, didn't you, Pat?
Oh, yes. Well,
Steve's coming. We're doing on Saturday, March 19th. He's coming. He's, as you know, he's the Heritage Chef with Good Shepherd Poultry Farm and Frank Reese. And we are very excited to have him come out. We're anticipating pulling chefs from all over, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee, and maybe even from Georgia. And that's an all-day workshop on Saturday the 19th, and that's on the website as well. The other thing we do is the poultry judging schools, and there's three different locations. We're doing one in Asheville. And then one in Montana, and I can't remember where we're doing. In Oregon as well. And there's a little description on the website of what those poultry judging schools are about. And you can
now,
see.
Jim, are those poultry judging schools? Are they sanctioned by the American Poultry Association? Is that that's part of signing up to be a poultry judge or getting qualified?
No, it is not, Pat. The American Poultry Association is, they have an apprenticeship program, and it's the people that we target with these poultry judging schools have never been introduced to the APA. And in this kind of a workshop, I encourage them, first, to become a member, secondly, to buy their first ever copy of the American Standard of Perfection. Because what you have, I'll try and give you this in a condensed version, is in the county fair circuit, you have hundreds and hundreds of people who love poultry and are judging at the fairs who've never been introduced to the Standard of Perfection. They've never been introduced to the American Poultry Association. Or now, some
really?
Of them have.
Okay.
Some of them have, but like the first time we taught this, one of the first two times we taught, we were in western Montana, way out in Wolf Point in eastern Montana, and 100% of the attendees that were in the poultry judging school had never seen the Standard of Perfection.
Oh, my gosh.
And they'd never been introduced to the American Poultry Association. So,
wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but there's a lot of cooperative extension, a lot of 4-H, a lot of FFA that have still not been connected to the APA and the Standard of Perfection. And so my goal is, when we do the schools, is teach you how to work with youth. You know, and that's actually not at all a part of the apprenticeship program with the APA or the ABA. Learning those people skills and working with kids and working with 4-H'ers and doing the showmanship. And, of course, Doris Robinson has done a phenomenal job with the APA and the ABA youth program, and she's a very good friend of mine. But the poultry judging schools are really for the person who's never been exposed to any of that. Now, maybe they would leave the poultry judging school with a standard, become a member of the APA, and grow, or maybe move towards saying, oh man, now I think I'm going to pursue actually becoming a licensed judge. And so when those kinds of things happen, that, you know, that'll be a great end to the whole process.
Okay. So, I hadn't realized that. So like, I could be a judge at our county fair, and I don't have to be a licensed judge. But it's the APA, the American Poultry Association, and probably the American Bantam Associations are the main licensing poultry judge licensing bodies. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. I don't license judges. I don't. You know, I have judges that I would recommend and say, hey, this judge is excellent judge. They are great with working with youth, but I judge many, many county fairs that never hire actual licensed judges by the American Poultry Association and the American Bantam Association. And if you want to have a sanctioned show, you have to hire those licensed judges. And
okay, they want to get the points the points that lead up to what the Grandmaster Showman and that sort of thing, then you have to go through the APA.
That is correct. That is correct.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
So check out the new website, and we'll continue to keep things advertised on there. But like, I just got an email today, Pat, from a cooperative extension agent who's in Montana, and you know, I lived there for a while, and so I have some roots there and some relationships. But again, that's all through networking. We are doing the Organic Grower School. You can go to organicgrowerschool.org and see all of the poultry stuff that we're doing there. And with Don Schreider and Ann Fanatico, who's excellent.
Oh, I know Ann.
Yeah. Ann's going to be at that. And Matt John from Poultryman Supply up in Indiana, and Don Schreider. And so we're bringing in all the top-notch educators, at least a few of the top-notch in my book. And we have Pat Foreman, who's going to come and be a part of our standard production show in November.
Really?
So,
November of 2011. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah, you've got some time.
That's right. Okay, yes, I'm looking forward to that. And I just posted the web link for your organic, it's February 16th, Wednesday, the 18th Annual Organic Grower School Conference. Is that right?
Yeah, but...
No, it's March the 5th and 6th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jim. March
it's, the 5th today,
and
6th. It's today, it's today.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Andy, I'm so glad you're on the program to keep her headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I need to be steered sometimes. It's March 5th and 6th at the University of North Carolina in Asheville. And that's the organic grower. Okay, Andy. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it's gonna be awesome. We're doing the half-day workshop on Friday. Don Schreider, myself, and Matt John are going to be working together on a farm that actually my wife and I spent some time at that farm this week helping to get it prepared and make it look pretty. And we already had, it's limited to 40 people, and I think we're real close to that registration number. So it's going to be a great event for people that want to learn about heritage poultry, about breeding and developing that sustainable flock, and learning how to do the selection process. And these are some exciting times with heritage poultry all across the United States.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like you're going to have a rollicking, dancing, learning, and talking, inspiring event. You've got the Firecracker Jazz Band.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I've been so busy with the poultry stuff that I haven't even checked it out, but I've been hearing about it from the director of the Organic Grower School.
Okay, well, great. Great. Well, I wish I could go down there. That sounds like it'd be a really, not only learn a lot, but have an incredible lot of fun with the Firecracker Jazz Band there.
Well, you know,
okay.
we had the lineup before you and I connected, so I may talk to you about the first weekend of March next year, and
I love to give workshops, and I love to talk.
Yeah, well, that's what I heard. Don Schreier was sat in your workshop, I think, at the ALBC conference, and he really enjoyed that. And I also want to get Andy to come maybe to our production poultry show in Asheville that third weekend in November, but I'll have to shoot him an email and give him the official invite. It would be just an honor to have the radio program there.
That would sound fun. Yeah, I don't. My calendar doesn't go that far. I guess it should, but I know we won't make it on the 5th because we'll be broadcasting live in Hayesville, North Carolina. We've got an event this March 5th that we'll be at doing a live broadcast and a 2-hour poultry workshop for their customers there, and so we will be doing that. But yeah, hit me up, send me an email, and we'll look what we're doing next November.
That'd be great.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Jim, we're just about out of time. It's we've got a trivia question coming up. And so, Andy, do you have any final questions for Jim Atkins about heritage poultry and sustainable agriculture?
No, great show. Thank you very much. I'm sure lots of notes were taken. I apologize about the technical problems. Not sure what they were all about, but we did fix them best we could. And we look forward to having you again maybe next month. So we hope. And good luck with all your events. It sounds really, really awesome. And we wish you all the luck with those.
Bless you guys, and thank you for the privilege of being on the program.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
You bet. Talk to you later.
Okay. We've been talking with Jim Atkins. He's the founder and owner of the International Center for Poultry, and we've been talking about heritage poultry in sustainable agriculture. So, Whisper, it's now trivia time.
That it is, and trivia today is brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. Ware Manufacturing, they've donated an awesome nesting box for our prize today, and I've got an awesome question to go right along with it, and we're not going to deviate from this. If you can't name them all, well, then you're not going to win. So this is something that most folks should be able to at least Google, if you will, and get the answer to if you don't already know off the top of your head. And we're going to give you the question. We're going to take the right caller. We're going to go to break, come back, and hopefully have a winner. The question today, brought to you by Ware Manufacturing, is, and we're going to take caller number 9. We'll take caller number 9. Name all 8 combs according to the American Standard of Perfection. That's what we're looking for. Caller number eight. No, I said nine. Caller number nine. Name all eight combs according to the American Standard of Perfection. That's what we're looking for. 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Call now for your chance to win a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. We'll come back. Hopefully we'll have a winner right after this short break.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom-labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let me get over here, and I will let you know the question, give you the number to call again if you happen to know the answer to the question. Dun, dun, dun. Name all eight combs according to the American Standard of Perfection. Name all eight combs, chicken combs, according to the American Standard of Perfection. So cool. Write it down because we may have this question again, maybe even this Saturday at the Chattahoochee Valley Poultry Show, where we'll be broadcasting live on Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., maybe even 10 to 11:30, especially if we get the live HD video up and running based on our internet connection there. And what kind of chance we have is a smooth show. So we hope to, just as we did back at the Bradley Caldwell Trade Show, we did live video, though. Two awesome shows. We did live video from the largest poultry show in the country, the Ohio National, and then we'll do it again this Saturday if all goes well. So we said we'd take caller number nine. This is for a nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Let me get over here to the switchboard. And we'll go to caller number nine right now. All righty, you're live with Andy and Pat calling in from area code 563. 563.
Oh, my God.
You're live. You're
I can't
live
believe it.
Live with Andy and Pat. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
My name is Carla Marr, and I'm calling from Canton, Iowa.
Canton, Iowa. All right.
Yeah, it's on the map. It's unincorporated, but it's on the map.
Oh, my goodness. That's not always a good thing if it's on the map. Sometimes I wish I lived in a place that was not on the map. Okay, so let me repeat the question here. Let me get over there. We want you to name all eight combs according to the American Standard of Perfection. You have 2 seconds. Go.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're out of time.
You're brutal.
Yeah,
so brutal.
I just kidding. Go ahead.
Silkies, cushion, V-shaped, pea, buttercup, single, rose, and strawberry.
Okay, slowly go through that one more time. There was one.
Okay. Let's
go ahead.
Silkies, my favorite breed. Pea, buttercup, V-shaped, cushion, single, rose, and strawberry.
I think she's missing one. Silky, I don't have down here. I have that down as a breed, but not as a comb.
I have it as a comb. Buttercup.
Okay,
pea.
What kind of comb does a silky have?
It's round and kind of lumpy.
Knobbly. It's round and knobbly, but
it's kind of rose combish, but not. I don't know how to describe it.
Love for poultry. Did you write all those down and then email me which one I think she's missing just to make sure we're on the right track or not email me but send me an instant message on the one that out of the eight that she requested that she's okay. Gotcha. Okay. And that okay.
I've got rose, strawberry, silky, single, cushion, buttercup, pea, and V shaped.
Okay, we're missing one. So we can't accept.
But it is the one on the silky though, Whisper. I mean. That is a distinct comb from all the others. So she's just not naming it specifically.
Okay, let's turn it over to the chat room, and we'll give them the census, since I seem to be sometimes a stickler than Pat. In the chat room, your fate ends up with the chat room.
Well,
should we give it to them? Should we give it to her there in Iowa? Let us know in the chat room. Thanks for posting that because we're about a 20-second delay from the live broadcast.
Kim says yes, give it to her. Brenda Helms says yes. Says Frizzled says, oh come on, she finally got to call in. Yeah, it's a unanimous. Yep, it's unanimous, Whisper.
Yeah,
somebody's
thank
like,
you. Thank
Catherine
you.
Watches, that's my mom.
Oh, really?
Cute.
Okay, we were the other one. We're going to give it to you. It's a nesting box from our manufacturing, but we down have down here as walnut.
Walnut. Okay.
Everybody's saying yes,
very
yes,
good.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
excellent.
Very good.
Yay.
That was great.
Thank you. Yes.
Congratulations. We thank everybody in our chat room for persuading us.
Thank you very much, guys.
I love it. So, all you have to do, very simple, is just send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, not .com.
Okay.
That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. I need your shipping address and your telephone number in case there are any shipping problems. I'll get that over to our contact at Ware Manufacturing. They'll get you out the single wooden nesting box from them at Ware Manufacturing. So we thank you very much for listening. Congratulations for playing and winning. And we'll see you tomorrow in the chat room. So cool, Pat. That wraps up another great show here, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Tune in tomorrow. It's another great episode of Poultry Today with Dr. McCray talking about traffic on your farm, traffic on your homestead, and then another great fun Friday as well. And glad you tuned in today. And I want to apologize for some of the technical problems we had today. It was an odd occurrence, but occasionally it happens with our high-tech world. So, Pat, thank you very much for joining us. We missed you yesterday. And I think tomorrow you're going to be 3,000 feet up in the air. So we will miss you again tomorrow. We'll have to maybe we'll have a Facebook fan contest today to see who can co-host the show with me tomorrow. How cool would that be?
There you go. There you go.
I think we just might have to do
that. Of course,
you're
going to have Dr. McCray with you. She certainly has a lot to say on everything.
Yes, so. She does. She's got the gift of gab and educational gab at that, so we can all learn from that. Bring your pen and paper. All right, Pat, take it away. 45 seconds.
Okay. Yes, well, we talked today with Jim Adkins from the International Center for Poultry. Thank you, Jim, for coming on talking about heritage breeds in on small farm production. Thank you, Andy Schneider, for bringing us all together. Without you, where would we be? And, of course, appreciation to our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along. Thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Ha 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 ha